Hello, everyone. I'm Crystal Bauer, founder of Live Greatly. After enjoying being a stay-at-home mom for 6 years, life presented me with some intense lessons that have led me on a unique journey of discovery and growth. So here I am 4 years later, a female entrepreneur, speaker, lecturer, writer, and integrative medicine fellow, more than I ever before thought possible. My goal with this podcast is to share some of my findings to help my listeners achieve optimal health in mind, body, and spirit to attain success. Now for a quick disclaimer, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast are purely the opinions of the author. They're not intended to provide any medical advice or treatment recommendations, and the contents of this podcast are intended for informational and educational purposes only. So let's jump into the topic for today's podcast, and I'm so excited. We are really lucky to have a very inspiring guest today, Heather Monahan. And Heather is a best-selling author, a keynote speaker, a TEDx speaker, and founder of Boston Heels. Having successfully climbed the corporate ladder for nearly 20 years, Heather is one of the few women to break the glass ceiling and claim her spot in the C-suite. As a chief revenue officer in media, Heather Monahan is a Glass Ceiling Award winner, named one of the most influential women in radio in 2017, and Thrive Global named her a limit-breaking female founder in 2018. Heather's new book, Confidence Creator, shot to number one on Amazon's business biographies and business motivation list the first week it debuted on Amazon. Heather's new show, Creating Confidence, debuted on the top 200 shows on Apple Podcast, and she's been featured in USA Today, CNN, Forbes, Fast Company, and The Steve Harvey Show. Most recently adding a guest professor at Harvard to her list of accomplishments. And Heather and her son, Dylan, reside in Miami. So thank you so much, Heather. I am just so excited to talk with you today.
Thanks for having me.
You know, I wanted to just tell you that I love how you are sharing your experiences with other people and other women and helping them build confidence. And I think it's so important for people to help kind of boost their self-esteem. So I was hoping that you might be able to share kind of in your personal experiences, have you always been confident? Do you feel like this has been something that your whole life you've kind of had this level of higher self-esteem and confidence, or is it something that you've kind of developed throughout your life?
No, not at all. I was born very poor. My mom was a single mom with four kids, and we were on food stamps at times and lived in a trailer behind my grandparents' home. And I felt very ashamed of how we lived and who I was. And no, I thought there were people that were just born confident and beautiful, and I just wasn't one of them. And really, it was through a series of adversity that I faced head on as a young adult and in my business career and personally that allowed me to begin to figure out ways to actually instill confidence within myself and create confidence for myself because I had none.
Wow. You know, I think what I found for myself too, like a lot of those challenges and the challenges that I've had in my life, those have been the times that I have had so much growth, you know, and that's kind of forced me to kind of get outside of my comfort zone to put myself out there. And I listened to your TEDx talk, and I absolutely loved it. It was phenomenal. And I was hoping you might be able to share how you reclaimed your power, you know, after having your self-esteem kind of negatively impacted by your work environment.
Yeah, one of the things that I did was I was in advertising and media for 20 plus years, and I essentially put the exact same methodology that we utilize for our advertisers' campaigns, whether it be McDonald's or Walmart, and I put that same methodology to work for me. So I ran a personal ad campaign for myself to create confidence within myself through the same steps I would in advertising, which is, you know, have a call to action, use powerful words with frequency and messaging a minimum of 7 times per day, add a visual component to really make the ad campaign more impactful. I happen to have a life-size cutout of myself, so I use that. Adding music to elicit memory and emotion and picking a song that you really connect with. And I coupled all of these things together and I did them with frequency over 7 times a day for 30 days. And really started to focus on this vision that I had of myself standing up and being confident and really owning those words, very powerful words. And in the end, I definitely felt a shift in my confidence and started to rebuild confidence. And then that, you know, pushed me to take action and take different steps and really move into fear. I decided to see fear as a green light that meant go. And the more I would do that and step into my fear as I was building my confidence, I started to see proof that I survived and I didn't die. And these things I was afraid of didn't even happen. And that proof of concept for me really accelerated my growth and accelerated my confidence. I began listening to my intuition, acting on my intuition, you know, through the whole process. I was journaling and really understanding myself and recognizing patterns where I wasn't standing up for myself, and came to the conclusion that in any moment you're either creating confidence or chipping away at it. And I began to live my life creating confidence in every moment. And that set me down a completely different path.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. You know, I love affirmations, and what you described there, I went through kind of my own journey with this, but once I started practicing mindfulness and I started to become aware of that like internal dialogue, I have found such a dramatic kind of shift in my ability to like push past those fears. Once I started to kind of question those limiting beliefs and kind of those programmed thoughts that kind of go through your head about why you can't do things, et cetera. And since I started to kind of push past that, I really found such wonderful opportunities presenting themselves. And I overcame my fear of public speaking and, you know, have done so many things. And I completely agree. Just being able to kind of build yourself up is so important. And on that note, you know, I think it's so important for women to empower other women. And I'm wondering if you have any thoughts or suggestions for what women can do if they feel threatened by other women. Because I think a lot of times when there's kind of that negativity that sometimes can be between women, or if there's jealousy, you know, that can harbor some kind of like mean girl type behavior. And I'm just wondering if you have any suggestions for how women can handle that if they do feel, again, threatened by someone in their life or another woman in their life.
Yeah, sure. So the first thing that comes to mind is when you are a threat, you will always be the target. And whether it's about you or not, it's certainly about that other person, and they're threatened by you. So they are going to make you a target. And when you're in a situation like that, first and foremost, the key is to fire that villain and get that person out of your life. But if you're in a situation where you can't, you work for that person is a peer, creating boundaries to protect yourself is the next best thing, and having some type of consequence to ensure that they adhere to the boundaries. But, you know, when I look back over my career and at times when I was in really toxic environments where that type of bullying and angst against women versus women was going on, that was a cultural acceptance by the company and by the people that, you know, are in these situations. You need to pick your head up and say, this isn't it. This isn't for me. And I don't want to be in a community or in a culture where this is accepted or people look beyond it and try to look away. And for me, for a long time, I tried to look away from it, hoping that the person would just move on. But in fact, when you do that, oftentimes these very negative people build in power. And that's what happened in my case. And in the end, that person fired me. But that day, I actually fired my villain. And not having that negative, toxic person around me trying to sabotage me any longer really allowed me to accelerate and take off. And I would recommend to anyone, if you're in an environment like that, where people are trying to sabotage you or harass you or treat you negatively, fire that villain, get out of the situation. There are situations and opportunities out there where you don't have to be treated like that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So true. You know, and I think kind of on the flip side too, you know, if you're out there thinking, well, huh, maybe I've been doing that to someone else, you know, maybe it wasn't even in your awareness. I think sometimes people can just, they don't even know necessarily that they're maybe acting that way towards another person, but they are jealous. You know, I'm curious if you have any suggestions for maybe the people who are acting that way towards other women. And you know, my thought is that those would be great people to help boost their own confidence, you know, and their own self-esteem.
Yeah, I mean, it's really getting real with yourself, you know, getting honest with yourself. And one of the best ways to do that is through journaling. And if you are having negative feelings that you're ashamed of, that you don't want to share with other people, it's about digging into those and owning them. You know, the more real and truthful you can get with yourself and others in your life, the happier you're going to be. So if there's a disconnect from who you really are and who you say you are, that's a major issue that's only hurting you. And closing that gap on that dissonance between who you want to be and who you are is something that's really going to change your life and the trajectory of your life. So, you know, whether it be just admitting to someone else, wow, I feel really jealous of this person, and starting to talk through those things and own them, you're going to start feeling better, because you've got to be honest with yourself first before you can, you know, move forward into any type of a better situation.
Right. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I think it's just kind of releasing yourself from the shame about it. You know, I think everybody kind of has their own things that they're working through. And, you know, if you're honest with yourself, that's kind of where it opens up room for growth and room for healing. I want to talk a little bit about people that are trying to fit in and be liked. And I think everybody innately, you know, wants other people to like them. You know, I think we all as humans, like that's a natural thing. But I think sometimes it can be taken a little bit too far. And then you get into the habit of trying to be a people pleaser, you know, where you're kind of trying to make everyone else happy at your own expense. And I was wondering if you have any suggestions or thoughts on how people can kind of own their power and set more healthy, I guess, boundaries for themselves and their relationships.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's really about, I have empathy for people who are in that situation where they're so concerned with others think, but then you're trying to become a person that's not you, that's not aligned with you. You're trying to make somebody else happy and what that image is that makes them happy. That is so incredibly dysfunctional. And then what you end up doing is you start becoming a different person because that's the indication or direction you're getting from those that are around you. That person's not you. So now you're showing up as a fake version of yourself. You're going to begin to attract people towards you that are attracted to that fake version. So you'll start attracting the wrong people towards you. And you can find yourself knee deep in a real mess then. You know, you'll be at the wrong job, the wrong company, dating the wrong person with the wrong friends, all because you never were really showing up as yourself. So, you know, again, getting back to who you really are, I say stinky feet and all. I always talk in my speeches about the fact that my feet stink. And, you know, for a long time, I would say, oh gosh, I would never want anyone to know that, you know, when I was in high school and college. And now I could care less. Listen, here's the thing. If that's the worst thing you've got going for you, you're killing it. And I feel super proud of who I am, whatever, you know, potential flaws there may be. Yeah, I might be too loud for some people. That's okay. I'm not too loud for me. And the more you surround yourself with people that encourage you to be that real you instead of correct you and redirect you to try to be something you're not, you know, the better you're going to start feeling. So again, you know, act and listen to your own intuition and inner voice. You are the one that will have the answer. You don't need to look outside. I actually have my first mentoring program launched in May. And there's a woman that's in the group and we've been working with her getting a new job. She just got the new job. I'm so excited for her. And awesome. She sends me an email after and she says, I have something I haven't spoken to you about. I need to address with you. I'm really unhappy in my marriage. And then she outlines all the reasons why her marriage is not good. I mean, all these examples and stories. Mm-hmm. And in the end, she writes, what should I do? And it was so interesting to me. I responded to her, you're asking me for an answer you already have. So listen to your inner voice. You have the answer. If you're asking me for permission, then permission granted. What mm-hmm. act on your inner voice. And that's all she was really saying, right? She was trying to convince me, but she's really trying to just get an affirmation that it's okay for her right. to move forward. She was feeling a little confident because she was able to accomplish this first goal, which now got her the ability to look further into her life as to what other things, you know, she wasn't happy with. And again, I have empathy. I've been there. I remember years ago dating someone and asking everyone, what do you think? Should I stay with them? Should I leave? And what should I do? And you know, I don't have the answer and I don't know what the answer is, but I wasn't stopping to really check in with myself to say, you know what, maybe you actually do have the answer. Mm-hmm. And the reason it's eluding you is because you just keep putting it on everybody else. But instead of getting still and saying to me, does this feel right? Does this feel good? Am I happy with this? You know, so it's really about going back into you to find out what the right thing for you is.
Right. Yeah, that's great advice. You know, I for myself, I found that building up that self-trust has been a process. You know, I used to always, again, like you were saying, like want other people's opinions. Is this the right thing to do? And kind of question myself. And what has helped me is when I started getting into meditation and mindfulness and journaling and just kind of listening more to my intuition and tapping into that. And I think there's so many different ways to do that, but, you know, finding things that you're passionate about and, you know, doing things that you enjoy, like for me, yoga, and when I feel empowered, that gives me a sense of, I guess, trust for myself and confidence. So I think it's going to be different for everyone, but it's so important to take that time to really reflect and to kind of listen to your own inner guide, which we all have. I want to talk a little bit about being a working mom, and you and I both are, you know, in this category. And I think this is kind of like always a balancing act. You have your career and you also, you know, want to be a great mother. And I'm wondering how it's been for you, especially because you're doing a lot of like traveling for your speaking engagements. Like, how have you been able, or have you been able to kind of find that balance, you know, of doing both?
Yeah, well, since my son was born, I've been traveling for my job. When I was in corporate America, it required me to travel once a week. And my job now is more sporadic. I don't travel quite as much as I used to when I was in corporate America. So it's sort of, you know, what you know. And when you've grown up that way, you know, that's just always been the routine. I'm divorced. So now when I travel, my ex-husband takes my son. So okay. It's worked out, you know, as best it can. There's definitely moments where it's not ideal, but I've learned to cut myself some slack that I'm really proud of the job that I'm doing and the company that I'm building and that I own my own company. And, you know, the pivot that I went through just 2.5 years ago. And, you know, my son's been a very integral part in that. He's completely aware of it. And we discuss it and he cheers me on. He knows, oh, where are you going on this trip, mom? And what are you going to accomplish? And all right, good luck. Let me know if you get the deal. And, you know, so awesome. He's a big part of that. And of course, it's hard at times when something significant is happening at home and you're not there. But I also know that he sees beyond one specific instance and knows that when I am home, I'm fully present. I'm with him. We do great things together. We generally get along extremely well, thank goodness, because during quarantine, he and I live in a building. We really can't go outside at all. And, mm-hmm. and it's a lot of alone time together, working through different challenges with school, with work, you know, shared space and the limitations that we have. But it's just one of those things that I've come to realize is that I'm very, very blessed that I have a child that is really compatible, I guess I would say, with my personality. And we generally have a fun time together.
That's great. That's great. You know, on that note of being a business owner, I'm wondering if you have any tips for people out there that are looking to start their own business and not really knowing where to start. You know, with my business, I kind of started without any business background, and it's been quite an adventure because I have, you know, my background's in healthcare. And I think you just have such great experience. I'm wondering if you have any tips for people that might have some ideas but don't know how to kind of set things in motion.
Yeah, well, hire a mentor if you don't have one, because someone that has been where you want to go can help advance you very quickly. When I wrote a book, I hired an editor because he had written 19 books. I had written zero, right? So that's one very definitive way that can help you leapfrog over, you know, a number of mistakes and potential obstacles. If you're not into doing that, then I would just say, get really clear on your purpose and your passion. If you love to paint and find yourself every free moment you have painting, try to find a business around what your passion is around the painting and monetizing the painting or teaching how to paint. Look at what it is that you love to do. Look at what it is that's unique, what your unique value proposition is that you bring to market to the world in a different and special way. And then try to think about, how can I spend time doing this and monetizing it? How can I make this a product that's marketable, a service that's marketable? And once you're clear on what those things are, then you need to start marketing and selling yourself. And I mean, it's as simple. A lot of people want to wait forever, but you know, when the pandemic hit, my keynote speaking business came to a screeching halt, and that's my number one revenue driver. So I immediately pivoted to a virtual speaking model business, which was significantly less in fees. So I changed my marketing immediately. I got new equipment so that I could broadcast live from my home and enable and allow for that opportunity. And then I started building testimonials, reviews, and recommendations of my virtual work and sharing that on social media to drive new business. But simultaneously, that wasn't going to close the gap on the revenue issue I was going to have. So I decided to launch that May program. I didn't have a site up for it. I didn't have marketing materials done on it. I just went on social media and said, I've got 25 plus years of business expertise, leading teams of thousands of people, responsible of hundreds of millions of dollars. And if you're interested in achieving goals, being held accountable, and getting through quarantine with a lot of wins, I'm the person that can help lead you to do it. And I just, you know, and then I said, okay, how do I figure out to pay, how they can pay me? I Googled, how can you send an invoice? PayPal. Okay, great. I went to PayPal and I set that up. You know, we can tell ourselves these excuses as to why we can't do something, or we can just jump online and figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's fantastic that you've been able to accomplish all of that. It's kind of like what you were saying, like all these excuses that we come up with. I found myself as I've been trying to do my own marketing, I'm like, you know, in the beginning, I'm like, I couldn't do that. I'd see something, I'd be like, oh, that's way too advanced, you know? And now I'm figuring out, well, actually I can, you know, it was more, I was intimidated by it. I felt overwhelmed by it because I didn't have any background in that area, but it's actually been a lot of fun to try and put that stuff out there. You know, and on that note, I'm curious like how you are finding navigating social media. And I like as a in my personal life, I'm kind of private with that. And I don't really like putting myself out there on social media. And now with my business, you have to. And I'm kind of like having this battle of like it's uncomfortable, I think, to constantly be putting stuff out there on social media. And I look and there's a lot of just it seems fake in some arenas. And I'm curious how you've been able to excel and kind of overcome any of those barriers with social media.
Well, first and foremost, I think to myself that it's selfish if I don't put it out there, right? Because if I can help one person with a message, and the more frequency that you put social media posts up, you're going to reach more people. It's just one of the facts. So if, you know, I'm posting, let's say 5 to 10 times a day on the LinkedIn platform, I know that if I don't put a post up, there's a chance somebody out there needs to hear a message that I could have sent and I'm depriving them of that. That's terrible. And if it's for me, I have a million things I can teach on or share. I shared a thing yesterday about Zoom and all the things that people could do to make themselves look better, because I see on these Zoom meetings, people just have no idea. Why wouldn't I share that on social media to help somebody since I know the hacks? You know, that's an unfair advantage. So I want to level the playing field for people. And so for me not to do it, I feel bad when I get busy and I'm on back-to-back meetings and I can't post as much, because I'm thinking this is depriving someone of an opportunity to inspire them or teach them something. And, you know, I just choose to look at social media that way, as well as it's the funnel for, you know, a tremendous amount of my business. So it's it's a contributor to my income to pay my bills and take care of my son and I. And it's something that gives back and helps others. So it's a real blessing.
Right. Yeah. So it sounds like you just have a really good intention with it. And I've noticed with myself too, a lot of it is about perspective. So like that perspective, I could totally get on board with, you know, and I think it's just the way you're looking at the situation. Your coaching program, you know, sounds fantastic. I was hoping you might be able to tell some people how they can contact you, or if they wanted to be a part of it, what they should do.
Yeah, sure. You can go to my site, heathermonahan.com, and there's a contact Heather form there. Just fill out and say that you're interested in the mentoring program and you'll get set up with all the information. And I actually will have the mentoring page will be up next week. It's so funny that I'm already a week into my program. I've got feedback from my existing clients and now I'm starting to promote my June program and I'm just getting the actual website going. So it'll be there next week.
Fantastic. Well, you've got a lot on your plate. You know, one of my main goals is to try and help people kind of obtain optimal mental health, you know, and build resilience. So I'm curious, like, if you have any built-in self-care practices for yourself.
Well, working out for me is really my saving grace. And I luckily saw this pandemic happening and a week before shutdown, I ordered the Peloton. So that every day is my opportunity to completely disconnect from being quarantined and, you know, be so excited and have fun with a great instructor that I get to pick, music that I love to listen to, and workout is, I mean, that's my saving grace. So working out is my number one, no matter what self-care move. And I threw my back out a few years ago when I was still in corporate America and I couldn't work out. And so during that transition period, when I was in rehab for my back, I really leaned into meditation hard. I mean, that was the only way for me to feel that I could have some type of an escape or outlet. Mm-hmm. And that was really important to me. Unfortunately, I haven't kept up with that practice as disciplined as I was when I was unable to basically move. But it was a really interesting experience to learn. And then I got really into yoga after, because that was one of the things that my rehab specialist said was basically the only thing that she felt comfortable with me doing on my own. So both of those practices were fantastic. And I love to do both of them whenever I can find the time. So I'd say that those are really key parts as well.
Yeah, those are all things that I think are so important. Meditation, working out, yoga, all that stuff. We had a Peloton actually, and we sold it right before all this happened.
Awful. So that is an epic fail.
Oh, I was like, you know, I'm not really using it. We're going to the gym. And then all this happened. I'm like, oh man. But I've still been able to run outside, which is good. And
oh, that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, we are about to be coming to a close. I'm wondering if there's anything else that you wanted to share with everyone before we end.
You know, just that right now quarantine can be really challenging for everybody for a multitude of reasons, but you can also turn this into an opportunity. I had no idea I would ever launch a mentoring business and that that would become something that is going to be part of my bigger picture company moving forward. I never even understood that someone would get paid for a virtual keynote speech, and now that's happening. So figure out what your unique value proposition is and how you can deliver it through this new platform, you know, via the internet. Find out what that pivot that you need to make in order to continue to profit and get paid for your expertise.
Mm-hmm. That's great. So I will put your website on the information with the podcast so everybody knows how to get a hold of you. And thank you so much for being my guest. You've been awesome, Heather. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And thank you everyone for tuning in today. You can follow Live Greatly on Instagram and Twitter at livegreatly_CO and on Facebook at livegreatly.co. And you can learn more about me and Live Greatly on my website, www.livegreatly.co. I'm available for speaking opportunities on multiple wellness topics, optimizing mental health and performance. So please reach out if I can help you or your business. And if you like what you heard today, I would greatly appreciate you leaving a review and subscribing to the podcast. Also, if you're wondering how you can further support Live Greatly, I'm going to attach a link to the episode description for Anchor. And if you click on that link, you're going to have the ability to contribute to Live Greatly. And that would be greatly appreciated. Even as little as 99 cents could help me sustain future episodes and get the word out and spread my message. So thank you so very much for your support. Greatly appreciated. Until next time, this is Crystal Bauer with Live Greatly, encouraging you all to awaken your ultimate potential.